Okay, Sunday night, Chodesh Halvavos, Shar HaBitochon, page Kuf Lamed Vav, in the Kapach edition, and it's at the tail end of the last premise that you have to have in order to develop full Bitochon, which is to recognize that Chodesh Baruch Hu is doing everything, mamish. And although he created a world of cause and effect, it's very interesting, the Chodesh Halvavos is stressing that if you don't open your store, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Hashem created a world with cause and effect. And there's two, there's the Gzeiros Hashem, what should be, and then there's the cause and effect. It's an illusion that this is the true cause. It's an illusion that it's the true cause. The cause is Hashem's gezeira. This is what should be. This is how much money you should earn, and right all the dinei shemayim, except for bechira things, except for yirah shemayim, except for mitzvahs averus, except for what's bechira. The result of how much you'll earn and what will be happening in your life, these are gzeiros from Shemayim. If Hashem decides something should not be, for example, so the chain will break, right? The sibos won't work. He'll take the things that would normally lead to whatever result you're trying to accomplish. They won't happen. But you know, so let's say a guy doesn't open a store. So we say, oh, you know why he didn't? If a person deliberately doesn't open his store, that's not a good example. Okay, let's say a shidduch doesn't work out. So you say, well, and the person, like, something happened, and he doesn't want. So you say, you know, he doesn't want because something happened. Because you said something, and then sometimes, and this happens all the time in life, then we berate ourselves. Because we look at the cause and effect as the true, all too often. We look at the cause and effect as the real cause and effect. So someone, let's say, gets fired from a job, not through Pshia, not through because they were, they didn't do what they were supposed to do, not because of that, but they got fired. So we look at it. But what really happened is that Hashem was goes there that this source of parnasa should stop. So Mimela, he caught the firing is the result, not the cause. That's what the Chodesh Halvavos would like us to train our minds to realize, that when things happen, we look at them as the cause, and more often than not, usually, generally, they're the result. The result of Hashem's gezeira. Hashem says this is going to stop. This is the end result that's going to happen. So therefore, the things that the cause and effect chain, which we live with, that's affected by Hashem's gezeira. But it comes out that when someone's car smashed into mine, that wasn't the cause that I lost the 1500 shekel it cost to repair my car. That was the result of Hashem's gezeira that I should lose 1500 shekel. So Hashem could have made that I have a hole in my pocket and 1500 shekel would fall out, but Hashem knows I never have 1500 shekel in my pocket, so he can't do it that way. So he has to make someone smash into my car. But again, the Chodesh Halvavos wants us to realize that Hashem created a world of chain of cause and effect, and when things happen, so again, it's not an illusion. They are cause and effect. You're going to sit there a whole day and stare at the bread on the table, the Chodesh Halvavos says, and you're not going to lift it to your mouth, and you're not going to chew it. It's not going to nourish you. Right? And then he goes on to Right? So there is a world of cause and effect, and that's real. It's real. It's as real as the law of gravity. But it's an illusion in the sense that if we would say there's a law of gravity that has an independent existence, right? So that's very wrong. That Hashem is the prime cause of the law of gravity, a constant cause of the law of gravity, right? This is the difference between the philosophers and our Amunah. That Hashem, even if you'll like sort of grudgingly give Hashem credit for creating the law of gravity, but there was a philosophical shita that held that, you know, now that the law of gravity exists, Hashem, right, moved away from the world, and Hashem's perfectly happy to have the world run with the law of gravity, and now Hashem gave it independent existence, right? But and that was one of the major accomplishments that Yetzias Mitzrayim was supposed to accomplish and did. I mean, it accomplished on the psyche of the Jewish people. This is what it says in the Sfarim, and Shulchan Aruch it says it, and the Ramban and Chumash it says it, that the Nisim of Mitzrayim impressed upon the Jewish people, and it was supposed to impress upon Paro, the Ikavda b'Paro v'chol chelov yadu Mitzrayim keni Hashem, right? So, and the Ramban explains, Hashem as opposed to Kel Shakai. Kel Shakai is the name of the force of Hashem that created the law of gravity. That's Kel Shakai. This is heavy stuff. I'm just touching on it. That's Kel Shakai.
So why is that? You,
what?
So why is that name on
the list? Whoa, wow. I can't... I'm not going to bat out an answer. No, it's a very good question. There is a Shem Shakai. It's one of the Shemus of Hashem. Hashem created Teva. Hashem made a Teva. And that's what the name Shakai represents, Hashem of Teva. You want to know why we don't put Yud Kei Vav Kei on a mezuzah?
It could be Agnus, any other name.
Yeah, so, it's a good...
So why is Shakai?
I don't know the answer to that right now. Okay? I don't know. Ani lo yodea. It's a very good question. I can do research and look into it, but I'm sure there's an answer because it's a very good question. And each shame of Hashem represents a certain aspect of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's power, and Shakai represents that, and you're asking a very good question. Why punkt is that on the mezuzah? Okay, good. But certainly, it says in all the Sfarim, in Chumash, in Ramban, and then in the Rishonim, in Chazal, that the closest we can come to Hashem's essence is Shmi Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei. That is the closest real name of Hashem, so to speak. And because we really can't fathom Hashem's reality. Anyway, it's all like what we conjure up in our mind, this image of this, you know, old man with a beard. Really, you know, we form images. Sometimes he's like Santa Claus, and sometimes he's, you know, sometimes he's our father hitting us with a belt, you know. But that's, Hashem did create Teva. I'm trying to make a point here, that the Chavis Halvavus is not saying that the cause and effect of the world of Parnosso, he's talking about, of things that happen in the world, are an illusion. They're only an illusion in the sense of them having independent power. Even if you'll be mode, you'll do Hashem a favor and you'll be mode that he created them, there was still a very powerful philosophical shita that held Rom al kol goyim Hashem, right? That Hashem is not going to bother with parking spaces. And right, Roma kol goyim Hashem, and Hashem has better things to do with his life, so to speak, than worry about parking spots. So he created the world, and he created the Teva. I'll grant you that, they said. Not like other apikorsim who said that the world is kadmon, the world always existed, and these laws of nature are a force of elokus. In other words, they always existed. Aristotle, hell, they always existed. So even if they negated that, but they said Ramal Kol Goyim Hashem, and our belief, our firm belief, is that Hashem is very involved in our lives. And so when you say there's a law of gravity, certainly there is a law of gravity, but it itself has no independent existence. Not even now. Hashem didn't even give it. Hashem didn't even create it and then walk away. So it's always like you turn on the light switch and the light goes on. It's only because there's a power station somewhere generating that power. And if something would happen at the power plant, you can turn the switch on from today till tomorrow. Nothing's going to happen with the light. So Hashem is, even if you created a law of gravity, even if you created the electrical power in the marshal, even if there's an independent, quote unquote, power that makes the light go on when you turn on the switch, because it's self-contained in the house, that koach, but the generating force is coming from the power plant, right? If not for that, nothing would happen. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is empowering constantly. Mechadesh b'chol yom tomid doesn't mean he's creating. The Rishonim say that he's not always creating, or else there wouldn't be Sheish Yimei Bereishis. There would be hundreds of thousands of Yimei Bereishis, but there's only six. So he only created once. There's nothing wrong with saying that. The Maral says it. Many, many Rishonim say it. I'm sorry, I'm going off on too many tangents today. He created once. He's always empowering. It doesn't. If a person makes something, the thing then attains independent existence. It's no longer dependent on the person who created it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created and is always empowering everything's existence. So Chazal Vavda says, sure, there's a world of cause and effect, but it's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gezeira that it should be. So again, when someone smashes into your car, that's the result of Hashem's gezeira. It's not the cause of your losing 1,500 shekel. The cause of your losing 1,500 shekel is Hashem's gezeira that you should lose 1,500 shekel. The result of that gezeira, since Hashem works through cause and effect, so the result is that someone smashed into your car. But there's a whole chain there, right? Why? Because the guy woke up late, and he was late for work. So he switched lanes without looking carefully, so he smashed into your car. And why were you there at that exact point in time? Because the baby was crying in the morning, so you were that many seconds or minutes late getting onto the road. So, you know, so it looks like, oh man, I was punked in this spot when the guy changed lanes without looking, and I had this luck that my car was the one he smashed into. No, that's all. That's an illusion. Hashem wanted my car to get smashed because Hashem, and Baruch Hashem didn't want anything to happen to me. Nothing physical happened, and it wasn't even my car. Nothing personal with the car. Hashem wanted me to lose 1,500 shekel, so I could have lost it. Someone could have pickpocketed me, but then Hashem knows I would have had tremendous agmas nefesh, and my husband would have yelled at me, and who knows what. Like this, it was the other guy's fault, 1,000%. He changed lanes without signaling, and he just smashed into me. So I didn't deserve that agnus nefesh, that it was my fault. So I didn't get that agnus nefesh, but I had to lose 1,500 shekel. So it's the result, not the cause. That's what Chazal Vavas wants us to understand. The psukim, he brings down psukim. These are not. You know, we think we believe these concepts, but we don't internalize them. Chavisa Lovis brings down psukim. You say, what do you need psukim for? Yeah, that's my mother's milk. Hashem can do anything. You know, but to really see it that way, and you know what this results in? It results in that I don't get angry, and I don't get depressed, and I don't want to take nekama. I don't want to take nekama because it's Hashem. That's what David HaMelech said when Shimi ben Gera cursed him and threw rocks at him. He said, there's no Shimi ben Gera throwing rocks at me. Hashem's throwing rocks at me. But Hashem is not going to throw rocks at me. He's using Shimi ben Gera to throw rocks at me.
He made sure he was punished.
That's what David HaMelech said. Yes, because Megalgalin al yedei chayav, and a person always has bechira, and you choose your choices, and you become the instrument of Hashem. And you don't have to be the instrument of Hashem. You can choose not to do something bad, and then Hashem will find a different instrument.
Should we learn that already? Because that's very hard in 1 second to understand.
That's not what we're learning now.
Okay.
But we'll get to it. We'll get to it. When the Chavis HaVavis will discuss how to deal with things that happen to you. Anyway, here he's making the point that although cause and effect is real, but you have to look at it, it's real. Again, it's not a nace. It's not a nace. What do I mean it's not a nace? It means it's not like we call it the law of gravity, but really, every time it's there, Hashem says fall down. So that's true and it's not true. Hashem says fall down through the law of gravity. There is a law of gravity. It's real. There is a gravitational pull that's pulling things down. Yes. But it's always empowered by the generating plant called Hashem.
Why did Hashem create all these things to hide
behind? Ooh, that's a wonderful question. The Chavis HaVavis asks that question in terms of a person's parnasa. He says, why did Hashem do this? Why did Hashem do this for? Now, he asks it, he doesn't ask that question exactly. He asks, why do you need the whole rat race for? Like, what does Hashem want? Hashem is like, Hashem wants to toy with us and have us work hard and open, you know, get up in the morning and work hard a whole day and come home at night exhausted. And like, what do we need it for? If it's just his gezeirah, why did he do that to us? The question with the law of gravity and this is because Hashem, the word olam comes from the word helam. Hashem wanted a world where his reality and his presence is hidden so that a person's struggle and the struggle in life, according to the Chavis HaVavis, is to see Hashem everywhere. That's what it's all about. And it's really, it's Ramban in many, many places in Chumash. You know, we think the struggle in life is to make sure we make brachas before we eat an apple. That's not really the point. It's not the point. I don't go eating apples without brachas. And Sarah Ben Linowitz said you don't have to, please. You have to make a bracha. But the point isn't brachat Hashem al-Kenem al-Khalambar creates. That's not the point. The point is wow, Hashem is giving me this apple. And, you know, And if you know a little about apples and trees, which I don't, you're like, it blows your mind. What created this apple? What, like how an apple grew? Hey, we're coming up to Tu Bishvat. It's like, it's amazing. It's an amazing, you know, it's like.
Hashem's involvement in the little steps. Someone can come along and say, and this isn't just a play devil's advocate, this is because if I'm having a conversation with someone, I'm trying to convince them of this point. So they'll say to me, the reason why the apple's on your table is because you went into the... So yeah, Hashem created the world, but then the issue of like, you know, that he manipulated this step and that step and that step so that you can have the apple on your table, so that you can get the parking spot, so that you can... so that you will get into that accident, so that you'll lose money, the opposite. And so you, with each thing, you could say that happened because of that. Your baby was up, your baby was crying, you left late because your baby's ear was hurting. Your baby's ear was hurting is because there was inflammation in the eardrum. And I mean, like, at which point do you say, at which point can you show that, yeah, Hashem was manipulating all these events. This person that I'm trying to convince is going to say, prove it to me. I'm showing you all these things that
We're not proving it. We're not here to prove it.
We're not
here to prove it. We're here to learn the...
See it in that perspective.
Yeah. We're not here to prove things. Now, if you want proof, you have to really go back. Wait. The Chavis HaVavis does start with proofs. His first sha'ar is sha'ar ha'yichud.
No, but the issue is
proving Hashem created the world. No. Sha'ar is proving Hashem's existence and that he is... that there's a force in the world that created everything and creates everything and is mashgiach. That's all in Shar HaYichud. That's in Shar HaYichud. Uh-huh. We're not... It's true. You know, if you really, really... The Chavis HaVavis, much better than Rabbi Milinowitz. He starts at the beginning. You're making an excellent point, and the Chavis Halvavos covers that point. He starts with Shar HaYichud. He then goes to Shar HaBechina. In other words, Shar HaYichud is proofs. It might not be a proof. The reason I don't like learning Shar HaYichud is because it's not proofs that'll satisfy the Western mind. It was written in an age when people were convinced by certain types of proofs that, unfortunately, ever since what's called the Enlightenment and a certain like scientific mahalach ha-machshava, it's now you're either a mammon or you're not a mammon. It's very hard to prove. Because no matter what you say, the guy just says, but maybe yeah. 8 million monkeys did sit there spilling out, you know, the bottles of ink and the whole Shakespeare was formed. Maybe, yeah, you know, you don't know not. You can't prove anything to anyone nowadays. So then he moves to Shar HaBechina, where Shar HaBechina pounds into your head that Hashem is a mative, and Hashem wants what's good for you, and it's amazing what this world is. And I said that's what, you know, look what goes on in the world and how much it takes to just do anything, how much is involved. That's Shar HaBechina. Then comes Shar Avodas Elokim, where he says, so you have to be Makitov. Look how much good Hashem does for you. And you have to respond in kind. You have to be an Obed Hashem. And then comes Shar HaBitachon. That's like and there's a complete build-up. The whole Chavis HaLovus is very structured, totally structured, and how he wrote the Sefer is very structured. So you raised an excellent point, and the truth is the Chavis HaLovus deals with that point in the beginning of the Sefer. That's his first shar.
You're not going to be able to convince
this person that if a person's not a mammon, you know, you'll start saying proofs. I mean, there's proofs from, you know, we can go back to Avraham Avinu's times. You know, the proof is who made this world and where did it come from? And you see this design in the world.
But that's not the issue. The issue is that so many people nowadays, people who consider themselves to be Ma'aminim, that they'll just say to you, you know, what do you mean? It happened because Hashem wanted it to happen. It happened because it happened. Hashem's not involved in that. You know.
That is pure apikursus. Hashem's uh-huh. not involved. This is the apikursus of the ancient philosophers who said, "Rama kol goyim Hashem, ala shemayim kavodo." This is how the Mepharshim explained these psukim. I don't like to use the word apikursus. I take it back. I don't want to use it too loosely. It's not our emuna. Our emuna is that Hashem is involved in the world. And I want to tell you an interesting thought. Someone said, like, Hashem cares about my parking spot, right? But the truth is, if you think about, we don't think about Hashem. The Chavis HaLevavos would, in other Sha'arim, he wants us to think about Hashem's greatness and Hashem's Kedusha. We don't even know where to start. We just have this like vague idea of something called Hashem, but he wants, you know, when you read about the Malachim and there's so many millions of Kochavim just and Malachim and Olamos and Olam HaAtzilus and Olam HaBriya. Let's say I say the question of is the world going to blow up tomorrow? Is the world going to blow up tomorrow? Oh, that interests Hashem, but not my parking spot. That's very childish, because compared with what Hashem is, the existence of the planet Earth is as important to him as my parking spot. Keneged kadosh 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 Hashem tzfakos malocha v'aretz kvodo, and all the olamos that he created out of yesh me'ayin, and he... the whole universe is just the physical world, and all the ruchniyistic world with all the malachim, and there's 10 kinds of malachim, right? There's ofanim and chayos hakodesh and malachim and srafim, and right, and so the existence of, ask the astronauts who go up in a spaceship, what's the earth is nothing. So if Hashem, yeah, Hashem cares about the earth, but not about your pockets, but it's all the same to Hashem. It's all just as meaningless and meaningful. And if Hashem cares about the existence of the planet Earth, then he cares about your parking spot. Keneged his godless, keneged hakel hagadol hagibor v'hanorah kel elyon, there's no difference between the parking spot and the existence of the of this little dot in the universe called Earth. Like a joke. Teretz is, it's very hard for us to grasp. It's hard, you know, if you think about it, it's like, yeah, it's like a good kasha. Like, what does Hashem care about us for? And not only that, then you learn a sefer like Nefesh HaChayim, and you get the chills that Hashem, this little ball, planet Earth, and this little sliver of thing, you can't even see it on a map. You ever buy a globe and look for Israel? You can't even find it. You gotta go like this. You're like, where's Israel? And you see this little thing on a map, and the nefesh, and everyone fighting over it. That's a big chizuk emuna, by the way. It should be. That should be mechazuk emuna. And you read Nefesh HaChayim, the beginning, and you say Hashem made all of those myriad worlds, and all the kochos, and everything is dependent on a human being, and a human being only exists on this one itty bitty planet, right? And everything is focused on Maisa Adam, and all the olamos are waiting for a person, and we control the world. We control the world. We do good deeds, and the world's in sync. We do not good deeds, and the world's out of sync, and it's all dependent on us. And you go, oh my God. That's scary. And a person's a microcosm of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, so to speak, right? He gave us, we're an Olam Katan. Every person is an Olam Katan. So it's really, you know, we learn it and we see it. It's really, it's a tremendous achrayus, right? It's a tremendous burden. It's exhilarating, though. And then there's a whole Olam Haba, and we're going to end up somehow becoming part of Hashem's reality, where we're going to chelik eloka, our nefesh, say, thank you, Hashem. You know, he could have made me into a soda can, right? Even after I'm lucky enough, soda cans are really great. He didn't have to create me at all. I could be a non-entity. I could not exist. Then he can make me a rock. Maybe that rock will be used in the Beis Mikdash. Maybe that rock will be used in someone's house that's going to do Hashem's will. And because he has a house, so he's able to do Hashem's will. So the rock, this is already more Hasidic thought, that a person is ma'ala, the whole, like everything around him, right? And Hashem, then you say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. Wait, I'm in the middle of making a bracha. You say, Shalom Asani Goy. Right, we're already a person. The Rishonim ask, why don't you say Shalom Asani, a person? You know, Shalom Asani Eden. Right? We already start assuming that we exist and we're living, and we start our brachas with Shalom Asani Goy and Shalom Asani Oved and Shalom Asani Kirtzono. You thought you had me then. The Pshat and Shalom Asani Kirtzono, of course, is that, okay, we're getting into this, you know. So, because the man and woman is are really just one neshama. It's one entity. It's one neshama that's split into two gufim, the Gemara says. Plag gufa, the Gemara calls a man and a woman. They're here for guf, because they share a neshama. This is ideally the way it's supposed to be, when things are working correctly. So there's one neshama. So it's not a question, Shalom Asani Isha, Shosani Kirtzono. That's just the outward manifestation of how we go through life. That's like saying, I wear glasses. So someone without glasses will say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, that I don't have to bother with glasses. That's all it is. But in terms of the creation, it's just a neshama. And Zachor and Nekeva Bra'am, when Hashem created the world, they were physically bonded together, and then he split them apart for 18 years, for 20 years, however long it takes. Then you have to find them again and reconnect. But this, it's not even a, like, it's not the point. But you say Shalos Ani Oved, Shalos Ani Goy, and you really should say Shalos Ani Evan, Shalos Ani Eitz. Then you say, you gotta say Shalosani. We don't. Who says? Who says we even? Whoa! Like, and then we could think, and we can talk, and we can do things, and we could be creative. And he, it's really mind-boggling. Okay, let's calm down. So we have to. I don't know how to. We're not learning the proof now. We're not learning the proof. And I don't know, nowadays, it's very hard. I don't know how you prove. So they do. They do with the Torah codes. You know, you're trying to prove. It's very hard to prove anything. Nowadays, everybody's very cynical. Everybody's jaded. And you show them that there's, like, I read once the Anthropic principle, like how unlikely it is for life to exist. You know, things I don't even know about, because I don't know any science. Like, if there would be like 1 degree warmer, if the world would be 1 degree warmer, we couldn't exist. If the hydrogen molecule wouldn't bond with the oxygen molecule, and, you know, like, and
it would be one inch close to the sun.
Yeah, stuff like that. And this is a whole book written. It's called, I'm not sure what the word means. It's called the Anthropic principle. But then people read it and they say, it's punked like that. That's how it came out. That's all. You don't have a riot or anything. It came out like that. Any reasonable person about anything else in the world, it's like one chance in a billion. So it's hard. Nowadays, I don't know, there's like a certain cynicism. It's a refusal to face the MS, because they have the Negius, and they want to live a life of Prikas Ol, because logically, as the Chovis Halvada shows in his Sefer, logically the next step, after acknowledging that Hashem exists, and after acknowledging that Hashem wants us to be happy, and Hashem creates things for our benefit, the next logical step is that we're Avdei Hashem. That out of Hakoras HaTov. Chaim Zalodos doesn't want you to be an Eved Hashem because you said Nasa V'Nishman Har Sinai. Don't say that over. Chaim Zalodos wants us to be Avdei Hashem out of just plain logical, a logical, natural reaction to everything Hashem does for us. So you react, and as he says, your whole Avodas Hashem is based on Hakoras HaTov. Because that's, which is an amazing thought. If you think about it, Avodas Hashem is not based on Hashem saying, do this, do that, do that, do that. Why should I listen to him for? What am I not to listen to him? So, you know, I say, well, I have to listen to him because he's stronger than me, and he's going to throw me into Gehenna if I don't listen to him. So that works for some people, but that's not what the Sefer Chovis Halvadas is all about. You know, I don't have to listen to Hashem. He's stronger than me, so I have to listen to him. But that's not a reason. That just says I have no choice in the matter. That's not a reason. Why should I listen to him? So his answer is because of Hakoras HaTov. So you say, wait a second, but why do I have to? I don't want to be Makir Tov. I don't want to. So that's what the Chavis wants us to understand, that Hakoras HaTov is such a primary, basic tenua in a person. It's like that's unnatural outgrowth. If someone does something for you, so you have to. The human being is constructed in a way that when you get something, you don't just take something and say, have a nice day, thanks for the present. The human being is constructed with a sense of, maybe call it busha, embarrassment, call it a sense of obligation if someone does something for me. So you'll say, why did Hashem create a person that way? You know, it's so primary that it comes before having to listen to Hashem. Because the Chazal Lodah says, if you think about it, listen, just logic. Chazal Lodah says, you have to listen to Hashem out of Hakaras HaTov. Who says it has to be Makatov? Teretz says, Hakaras HaTov isn't an obligation. It's a natural function of a human being. Or else how could he say that? It doesn't make any sense. Why did Hashem... Hashem tells me to be Makatov, but I don't have to listen to Hashem, remember? He's talking about, he's going back to the very beginning of, why do I have to listen to Hashem? So if his answer is Hakaras HaTov, it means that Hashem created the person in such a way that Hakaras HaTov is a natural, normal function of a human being. And if you're not Makatov, it's like you're debasing and you're going against your own humanity, like you're malfunctioning in the very bedrock of what you are. So I'm not going to start explaining now why that's so, but I will, but the question is, why did Hashem create a person that way? He could have made a person, because Hashem created a person, right? Nothing has to be anyway. 2 and 2 doesn't even have to equal 4. Hashem made 2 and 2 equal 4. But so the answer is, that's all part of the system. Hashem created a world, Helem, Olam Helem, and he wants a person to recognize him, to break through the Helem and to recognize him. So he created a person with that sense, with that basic function of Hakaras HaTov, because then the person is going to learn Chayvus HaLadus, and he's going to wake up and he's going to say, why am I alive? Who gave me life? Who made me exist? And he's going to go, Hashem. And that's what Hashem wants. Hashem wants. Hashem doesn't need anything. So Hashem wants. Why does Hashem want? That's the ultimate unanswerable question. Why Hashem wanted? I can answer you. Ramchal says, because he wanted to be a mative. So he wanted to create a world where people bond with him, where things outside of him bond and become part of him, reconnect to him, because he wants to be a mative. And for some reason, now we're getting like heavy, really heavy, because the Hashem, like, did Hashem have to be a mative? Like, would Hashem have been chaser if he wouldn't have been mative? These are like, Hashem's not chaser. Hashem, you say rotza, ultimately he wanted to be a mative. I mean, this is a heavy question. Hashem wanted to be mative, the Ramchal says. Well, let's leave it at that. He wanted to be a mative. It's in his nature, I don't know if you're allowed to say that, it's in his nature to be mative. I think that's okay to say. That's what Ramchal's lashon is. It's in his nature to be mative, to do for others, to be a mashpia, to be mative. So and the ultimate hatava is to create people, to create brios. We call them people. Right? To create a bria that will reconnect to him through their own efforts. No freebies. Freebies is not a tova. You give someone a present, it's not a tova. Why? Yeah. It's a very big tova, but there's a much bigger tova. What's a bigger tova? To give someone money or to give them a job?
If you give them unlimited amount of money, then I think so.
Well, what's
I
the
could
answer?
Do more, I could do more chesed, I could be more with my children.
I'm asking
if I
you.
Have unlimited amount of money and no job.
No, but you're not really doing them a favor. You're making them into takers, and they don't deserve what they're getting.
I guess there has to be a balance, and there's never a real
balance. There's a word for that in the Sfarim. It's called Nahama de Kisufa. That's what it's called. I'm sure you've heard the term. Nahama is bread. The Kisufa is embarrassment. You're not a mensch if you just take charity. I mean, so, just in case. if you have to take charity, you take charity, and you're not doing anyone a favor. If you go hungry and your children go hungry, if sometimes a person needs charity, but it is na'amu dikisufa, and the ultimate chesed that Hashem did for a person, the greatest chesed in the world. You see, you're thinking like a human being. Hashem is smarter than you.
Of course, the job is better than to take.
So therefore Hashem did the ultimate chesed, is create the person in such a way that he will earn, eternal life.
But it's not just benachas. Often it's mamash b'zeyas apecha that can wreck your life in a certain way.
It will wreck your life. It will wreck a person's life if they don't deal with it properly. But the instructions for dealing with it properly are all in the Torah, or in the Shulchan Aruch, or in the Chagas Halbavos, and it's in Basil Sisharim. Chas v'shalom. Hashem will never wreck your life. Hashem will give you opportunities to grow and to steig and to deal with problems. Everybody's life has problems. And Hashem has this huge computer, and he created the neshama, and he sends everybody the problems that will allow them, that will force them. In order to deal with the problems, you have to perfect your neshama. You have to work on certain midos and certain things. Hashem never wrecks a person's life.
I guess I'm a little bit stuck still. Like, I could look at everything we're learning here on the plane that we're supposed to, but I think I must still be stuck on the fact that if a Kadosh Baruch Hu is a mated, it's hard for me to understand why there's so
much suffering in the world.
Because I have my challenges that are very, very hard. And then you become involved with people who are suffering that you can't imagine. So it's hard to understand.
We can take a break from Chayyus Halvavos and we can go into that for 6 months. Really. That's a whole topic in itself. But certainly, if you would just say Psukei Dezimra with Kavana, and maybe you do already, but if you say it with a little more Kavana, you would be so ecstatic about Hashem's goodness just by saying Psukei Dezimra. It's all in the Siddur. And, Hodu, Hodu, and Yichvod, Mizmor Lasoda, Ashrei, Haleluka, the five Halelukas, you'd be out of your mind with joy by the time you got to Yeshtabach. Teretz is, you're going to tell me now you don't have time. You're going to tell me, you can tell me you don't have time to daven. You don't have time. Terrible tzaras, they're alive.
I know, but the government is taking away everything that they have. They're failing. They have no food. I know these people. Their chashmal is being shut off. So,
you know what you should do? Instead of philosophizing, you should help them.
No, I'm trying, but it's a bottomless pit. It's a band-aid.
Okay, so you have to say three times a day, Kelemuna vein avel tzaddik v'yasher hu. Everything's happening for a reason. Maybe it's a nisayon. Maybe it's a punishment. Maybe it's an opportunity. Maybe it's everybody has to deal with life. I hope I'm not sounding callous. I know people have sorrows. I know that. Everybody has their peckle, and everybody finds things very difficult to deal with. And I can't prove anything, but all the svarim that are written say that Hashem does this in order for us to perfect, to accomplish what we were sent into this world to accomplish. One person has to overcome the trait of laziness. One person has to overcome the trait of a tendency to dishonesty. A person has another trait. He has to, there's all sorts of, has to overcome his anger. For all you know, it's all, I know a person who has tremendous tzaras, yeah? But I know that if they would go to an anger management course and they would, control their anger, 80% of the problems would melt away. Yeah, he has kas. That's what he's here in this world to overcome, is kas. 95% of shalom bayis issues which wreck a person's life, 95% is just a question of tikkun midos. Hashem sent everybody the partner that pushes all the wrong buttons. And the only way, because the only way you're going to have Shalom Bayis, the only way one is going to have Shalom Bayis is by perfecting one's midos. And they should thank Hashem every morning. After Modani, they should say, thank you for sending me a husband that pushes all my buttons. Because this way I'm forced to perfect my midos. That's what a person should say. Okay.
Yeah. About the gazera, going back to the original topic of the evening, is that
the 1500 shekel?
No, yeah, not the fact that it's not a car, it's the gazera.
It doesn't have to be an onus. It could be that you weren't supposed to ever have this 1500 shekel, and you kept your store open for an extra half hour, and you were supposed to earn 100,000 shekel this year. And you kept your store open an extra half hour, and you earned 100,000 and won 500 shekel. So Hashem has to take that away from you. That's not an onesh. Hashem just has to even out the books before Rosh Hashanah. Drive carefully in Elul.